SPF sunscreen that is based on your skin type kind of thing. So you want to make sure you have a really good quality sunscreen and put it on from head to toe. When I say head to toe, make sure you put it on your face. Put it even on your ear tips. That's someplace that gets that burns sometimes when you're out in the sun and your hair is wet and you forget. And when that sun burns, that really, really hurts the tip of your ears.
It's those areas you don't think about until you go to touch it or something and you think, what on earth is
with that? Yes, the tip of your nose and your toes. You want to make sure you get your feet too as well.
You know, before we get to your post tips, I want to talk about what to do at the beach. And you talked about the sunscreen, and absolutely you should put that on before you even get to the beach and apply it all over so it gets a chance to absorb into your skin. But once you get there, here's what people don't do often enough, and that is to reapply the sunscreen.
Yes.
And you should do that at least every 2 hours. And certainly if you go swimming, you want to reapply. Also at the beach, I want to talk about some etiquette and style. With etiquette, you want to make sure that when you set up camp, you're not too close to someone else. The worst thing is to invade someone else's privacy.
I cannot stand that. Of all this beach, you want to come right next to me.
A little too close, because we all want to stretch out a little bit. And what I mean stretch out is that we just want to feel comfortable that we're not right up on the next person. And then that way you're not infringing on their personal space.
Exactly.
The other thing you want to do is to anchor your belongings, because sometimes it gets windy and you don't want your things just flying all over the place. And what happens if you're too close to your neighbor? It's on.
My umbrella flew out. Good thing that the shovel came in handy, because it flew out of the ground. So you definitely want to make sure that you're not that close.
As you said about your music, it's best to bring earbuds or headphones so that your music isn't blasting or infringing on someone else's privacy, who may be coming to the beach for peace and quiet. And I know you're not going to get that much peace and quiet, but at least you don't want your neighbor's music just blaring all over the place. And they may not even like your style of music.
I was going to say that inappropriate music too, as well, with children around.
Certainly if it has profanity, you definitely want to have your earbuds. Talking about playing horseplay at the beach, that's the time to do it. But you want to make sure you're not close to people. So when you see people lounging, laying out and relaxing, that's not the area where you want to play. You want to, you know, leave your things and go to an area maybe closer to the water or away from where people are lounging.
Side, yes.
Because guess what? When you're running around and playing and doing these things, you're kicking up sand.
Yes.
And
yes.
And especially if they're children. You know, I like to hear the sound of children playing, but from a distance.
I brought my slices of pineapple back home and I had tons of sand in it.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Sometimes you just eat a little sand.
You just have to eat a little bit of it.
You just have to deal with it. And when you hit the beach, you talked about flip-flops, and yes, they are great, but when you hit the beach, you should take them off because they are flip-flops, which means they flip and flop sand. So you're just walking along and flicking sand all over everyone. Right. So it's best to take them off unless you have shoes that completely cover your feet. But if you have those flip-flops, then make sure when you hit the beach, you take them off as you're walking along, and especially through other people. Now, style. Because there are some people out there where you just want to throw a flag on the play. Not cute. You want to make sure that you are stylish, but it's not always the aesthetic. Sometimes it's the function of it as well. Talking about your beach bag, why not have something that is so cute? But also make sure you have a large enough bag that you can put everything in. You don't want to have multiple bags. So make sure it's large enough for you to put all of your items in. Maybe not necessarily your food. Maybe there's a separate bag for that. But you have your towel. You have your sunglasses, a change of clothes, your music, your magazines, and all of those things. So make sure it's substantial. And while you're at it, it might as well look good. Find the right bathing suit for your body type and in the right
size. One size does not fit all. Contrary to popular belief, it does not.
Some of us need a swim dress.
Yes, yes, yes. Some cover-ups.
You know, you don't want the underboob hanging mm-hmm. out on the two-piece.
Yes.
No one really wants to see all of you. But there's so many websites and television programs that can really help you with finding the right bathing suit mm-hmm. for your body mm-hmm. type, because we all have different body mm-hmm. types mm-hmm. and you want something that's going to look flattering mm-hmm. to you. Mm-hmm. So just as if you're shopping for clothes, mm-hmm. certain styles may mm-hmm. not look good on your body type. The same thing with bathing suits.
I think especially for women, I think we should look at buying a bathing suit the way we look at finding undergarments.
Yes.
Especially the top part of the undergarments, because like you said, one size doesn't fit all. And sometimes you have to get measured, that type of thing. That's very important too as well, because you're going to have it for the entire season. And you want to make sure that you're comfortable in it and that everything stays in that's supposed
right.
to stay in.
And you want to make sure that it's comfortable mm-hmm. and functional for you.
That is true.
Retro is really in mm-hmm. and it's very modest and you get that kind of pinup look
mm-hmm.
with it.
You sure do.
But get a nice cover up. Mm-hmm. Again, it's function and fashion mm-hmm. at the same time. Mm-hmm. You get something that's really nice, a sundress mm-hmm. or something like that. You can quickly go from the beach to the cafe.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you don't want to bring a lot of food with you. You're just going to bring your water mm-hmm. but you plan to have lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can quickly put on your sundress mm-hmm. or your cover up mm-hmm. if it's a nice cover up mm-hmm. rather than just a sarong tied mm-hmm. around
right.
and you can go to the cafe and you're not going to feel underdressed.
And then sometimes they won't even allow you in if you don't have on proper clothing, even if you're on the beach. If there's a certain sitting area, you have to be covered up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then get a really cool sun hat. Mm-hmm. I love the big floppy hats that are out now, because sometimes we have beach hair after we've gone swimming. And so again, thinking of fashion mm-hmm. and function,
yes.
a nice beach hat or a cool sun hat will work really well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times with sun protection, we forget about our lips.
Yes, we do.
And it's very important to do that. So protect your lips. One that I love is Burt's Bees,
mm-hmm.
and they have tinted moisturizers mm-hmm. with a sun protection.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a little bit of color
uh-huh.
as well. So
uh-huh.
I really love those things. So those are my what to do at the beach, your etiquette and style.
Sounds good. That's
yeah.
awesome. Those are wonderful tips.
And so now we're back to Morel with the post tip.
Perfect, perfect. I have three tipping you in the right direction. Now it's time to go. You're ready to get everybody loaded up. First things first, especially if it's a crowded beach, one good thing to have is literally a whistle, and I'll explain why. Because if you have children around, if everyone is separated, like as you were saying, as far as etiquette is concerned, the last thing you kind of want to do is yell over someone. You know, not saying a whistle is even louder, but at least you can do a whistle, toot, toot, kind of thing. It sounds funny, but if you have children in the water and you go to the edge of the water and you blow your whistle, they know what it sounds like. They know it's time to come in. Binoculars, too. That's another good thing. It's great for looking to see at the sailboats that are off into the distance. But again, especially, too, if the beach is very crowded and you have little ones bouncing around, it's a good way to keep an eye on them, too, as well.
It certainly is, and especially with little ones
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to take your eyes off
mm-hmm.
of them, and you want to make sure that you can view them at all times.
At all times, absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've wrangled up the crew. Everyone is back into the car. Everyone is getting back to the car now. You just brought the entire beach with you in your shoes. So that's one of the reasons why I love flip-flops. To have a jug of water in the car and just pour the water on over your feet and the flip-flops, it instantly rinses off all of the sand from the beach, and then you just hop in the car. You won't have it all in the car with you.
That's a great idea. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Moisturizing. You mentioned the lips. This is very, very important. You want to get a very good body butter or good moisturizer, because now your skin is dried out. You've scrubbed and shellacked everything off from the beach, so you want to make sure you put back all of the oils and the nutrition into your body. So yeah, that means from doing a leave-in conditioner from your hair or oiling your hair, from a great body butter or shea butter or cocoa butter, make sure you get everything from head to toe again. And I can't stress enough that your ear tips, and then like you said, the lips, that is a great tip. You want to make sure that you moisturize your lips too as well. Don't forget your feet, tops and bottoms in between the toes. I mean, hit every nook and cranny. Make sure you moisturize yourself.
Yeah, it's very important because the sun is very damaging to the
mm-hmm.
skin. It can dry out the skin.
Yes.
And as you said, you've had all of these products and things on
mm-hmm.
there. So you want to replace that moisture
mm-hmm.
that you've lost through the sun
mm-hmm.
as well. And the salt from the water, the sea salt, as well as the sand, can rob your body of moisture
as well.
It's very important, not just for your body, but for your hair as well.
That is important too as well. And lastly, water, water, and more water. I know I told you to hydrate on the beach, but it's very important to hydrate when you're at home. Now your body is settled. You've showered. You've moisturized. Now you're setting in. You want to make sure that you rehydrate and replenish your body with all of the liquids that you've just exhausted out on the beach, including washing and taking your shower. So you want to make sure you drink tons of water. Finish off some of that the fruit that you have there too as well. And because a lot of times when you go home, you may still be a little bit hungry. You don't want to eat it something very heavy on your stomach. Finish off with some of the fruit that you have. It hydrates you. It's light on your stomach, and you can go to bed and you won't have an icky tummy in the morning.
Absolutely. Well, Morel, thanks again for some wonderful tips. I want everybody to just have a great time out at the beach.
Yes, yes.
That's what summer's made for.
Yes, yes. I'm headed back. Hopefully I'll see you there.
I recently discovered that the U.S. passport pages have quotes on them. That's right. Each page has a quote by a famous person. I wondered if we could find anyone else who discovered these quotes in the U.S. passport. Take it away, Mo.
Traveling Coach Arati with your girl, Mo. Always on the go, and I'm here with... Carrie, can you tell me a quote that's in your passport?
A quote?
Yeah. Are you aware that there are quotes in your passport?
No, I had no idea.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to need you to go home and flip through that passport, girl, because it's all types of inspirational quotes in there.
Okay, I'll do that tonight.
Traveling Coach Arati with your girl, Mo, always on the go, and I'm here with...
Joey.
Are you aware that your passport has quotes from famous people in it?
Yeah.
Can you tell me a quote that's in your passport?
E pluribus unum.
Okay, that was a good try. I don't think that's in the passport, but thank you, Joey.
You're welcome.
Traveling Coach Arati with your girl, Mo, always on the go, and who do I have here with me?
Danielle,
can you tell me a quote that's in your passport?
The Constitution?
The Constitution has a quote in your passport, Danielle. Is that your final answer?
I'm going to have to go check on that.
Oh, okay. We're going to go ahead and let you check. You don't want to phone a friend? You don't want to phone a friend, Danielle?
Can I do that?
Oh, do we have any time? Unfortunately, no one was able to give me a quote from their passport. Traveling Coach Arati with your girl, Mo. Always on the go. Back to you, Javon.
Thank you, Mo. In 2006, the U.S. State Department rolled out a newly designed passport booklet. This new booklet is of a biometric design, which means it's embedded with a computer chip and other high-tech security features. It also came with the new patriotic images and quotes from important people throughout America's history, mostly presidents. Here are a couple that I really liked. We have a dream. It started way back in 1776, and God grant that America will be true to her dream. Martin Luther King Jr. The cause of freedom is not the cause of a race or a sect, a party or a class. It is the cause of humankind, the very birthright of humanity. Anna Julia Cooper. I might also add that quote is the only one in the passport booklet by a woman. Well, when we come back, we've got the Culture Report. I'm Javon Harley with the Traveling Culture Roddy on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141.
Ladies and
Culturati host and travel pro Javon Harley. The 2016 WHUR World Tour takes us to Japan, a country steeped in tradition and culture, from the ultra-modern lit trains to the incomparable shopping in Tokyo. Culturati will love it. This November 3rd through the 12th,
health, will visit Tokyo, Kyoto, and Osaka, will stay in deluxe five-star hotel accommodations, and enjoy excellent tours and cuisine. Sponsored by the Japan National Tourism Organization, United Airlines, and WHUR, the WHUR World Tour Japan. Visit advantage-intl.com for details. Devon Harley here, your travel pro and host of Traveling Culturati, with the top reasons to visit Ghana: history, friendly people, Ghanaian hospitality, and unsurpassed natural beauty. Ghana has it all, but the top reason to visit Ghana is to join me and Advantage International. The wait is over. The dates are set. Join us in Ghana September 8th through the 16th. We'll start in the capital city of Accra and visit the W.E.B. Du Bois Center for Pan-African Culture. We'll follow the history of the slave trade and visit the infamous forts, castles, and slave dungeons on the Elmina and Cape Coast, September 8th through the 16th. Fly South African Airways, Africa's most awarded airline, nonstop from Washington, D.C., and stay in deluxe accommodations. Go to advantage-intl.com for complete details. That's advantage-intl.com. See you on the plane. Join Traveling Culturati and Advantage International for the once-in-a-lifetime trip to Washington, D.C. for the historic opening of the National Museum of African American History and Culture. The National Museum of African American History and Culture will be a place where all Americans can learn about the richness and diversity of the African American experience. Join us as we visit the museum. Enjoy a nighttime tour of the monuments. Our package includes air from Chicago, accommodations at the J.W. Marriott, tours, selected meals, and events. Go to advantage-intl.com for complete information and to book.
Every 4 years, memories are made.
Nobody's scored more points wearing a U.S. jersey than Carmelo Anthony.
Dreams are realized.
Usain Bolt runs into history.
Records are broken.
48-year-old player
Here this summer's Great Olympic Moments at Sirius XM in association with Westwood One presents Rio Olympics Radio, starting Friday on Channel 106.
HRvoices.com.
Welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley. This is the last week to sign up and join me to Ghana, September 8th through the 16th. You can get all of the details and make your reservation at the website, TravelingCulturati.com. And while you're there, join the Travel Club. Well, you know what time it is, folks. It's time for the Culture Report. And this week takes us to India, an exploration of the red dot. And chatting with me is Parul Sinha, founder of Sacred Dot Tours. Hello, Parul, and welcome to the Traveling Culturati.
Hi, Javon. It's lovely to be here.
What better person to speak with than Parul when we're talking about India and we're talking about the red dot? Now, some say red dot and some say sacred dot. What is the official name of the red dot worn in India?
Well, as you know, there are a lot of languages in India, so it has a lot of names. Some common ones that you may have heard of are tikka, tikli, bindi, putti, etc. The bindi and the tikka are sometimes used synonymously, but they're different because the tikka is usually worn by men and the bindi by women. The red dot is either just a fun part of the bindi, or it can occasionally also be worn as a rite of passage. In India, even some Christian communities wear a red dot or a tikka on special occasions like Ash Wednesday.
So what is the origin of wearing the red dot?
Well, the most common one that you would see is women wearing a red dot on their forehead. That signifies the rite of passage of a woman becoming a married woman from a young girl, and to denote to her society that she's married. The other significances are the form of God that the person is praying to, and they come in various shapes and sizes. Just by looking at a person's forehead, you can tell which God that person prays to, which community that person is from, etc.
Okay, now you said something as well, because I've always seen it as just the dot, but you said that in different shapes.
That's right. So it could come in a vertical smear. It could come in a trident-shaped form to signify Lord Shiva. It could come as a small white line, which signifies coolness. In ancient times, when men went into battle, they would smear the red vermilion from the middle of the eyebrow up to the forehead, invoking passion and anger so that they go and fight with valor.
Okay, so women, mostly worn by married women, but do others wear it?
Nowadays, with changing fashions, you'll find that a lot of married women don't wear it, and a lot of young women do wear it. And it comes in various shapes and sizes. It's no longer just red. It could come in blue and green. It could come in any color that you want. I, in fact, paint mine on to match with the sari I'm wearing that day.
Now, with the different names of it, you said the two more popular ones are the bindi and the tikau. Now, with the bindi, are there different reasons or significance whether you're wearing the red dot or a bindi?
Well, the red dot usually signifies either the fact that the woman is married or that the person has attended a religious ceremony, or the person has been welcomed into a home. In fact, we welcome all the guests who are coming into India for traveling in India with a red dot to show that God's blessing was with them and that they, to us, are like God. That's why we have the saying, Atithi Deva Bhava, which is guest is God.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful sentiment. Now, what about spirituality besides the guest of God? Is the significance of the red dot or the statement of the red dot?
It has a very ancient significance as far as spirituality is concerned. Those people who do meditation will know that when they are asked to meditate, they are asked to concentrate on a spot between their eyebrows, because that is supposed to be the place where the mythical third eye is. The third eye is basically a concept which refers to an invisible eye which provides perception beyond ordinary sight. It opens a gateway to an inner consciousness, a higher consciousness. It allows you to achieve enlightenment. The reason why people would meditate is to gain a balance between the inner self and the external environment to achieve perfect health.
Now, what about the color? Why red?
Red is traditionally a color of celebration. So across India, when you see festivals or you see prayers or you see any kind of celebration, whether it's a harvest or a birth of a child, you always see red. That is why you see red mostly as the tikka or the bindi that is worn.
On one of my trips to India, there were bindis that it wasn't a smear. It was a decal almost, like that you would place on the forehead, and it was very decorative. Is that just something of more modern times?
Oh, yes. Nowadays, you get bindis of every type and every color. And young girls paint them on. You get dyes to make your own bindis. You have entire factories making intricate bindis with Swarovski crystals and what have you.
India is a very vibrant country and destination and people, and that's representative with the colors of India. And there are so many things that represent various things based on colors, and festivals are one of them. So let's talk about that.
Well, most people know about two festivals that are celebrated in India, which one is, of course, the festival of colors, which is Holi, and then the festival of light, which is Diwali. But there are hundreds of festivals that are spread throughout the year. In fact, I think we have a festival almost every day. As you know, India is a secular country, so we have people from all faiths and religions who live here, and they are free to practice their own religion and their own festivals. So the important festivals like Holi, Diwali, Easter, Christmas, Eid are all festivals that are celebrated in a major way, but they are small festivals that take place across the country.
Now, Parul, you talked about the Festival of Colors. Exactly what is that?
The Festival of Colors is a day we celebrate the victory of good over evil, like all our festivals are. And we do this by smearing each other with color and in the form of celebration. India is an ancient agrarian society. So this fell at the time when the winter crop was harvested. And it was the only time people could celebrate. They had the time to celebrate and just relax for a couple of days. And they did that initially earlier by using all types of flowers. That's why it happens in spring. So they used to use flowers and water to celebrate the festival. Now, of course, we do it with a whole host of powdered color and wet paint, which takes ages to get off.
Our executive producer, Gene Harley, was in India, and he participated in one of the things that they provided the visitors with to get a taste of the Festival of Colors. And he did say that it took quite some time to get it off, but it was something wonderful to experience.
Yes, it is. And all our festivals, you know, are also replete with a whole range of food and drink. So, you know, if you want to have a good time, a festival is definitely a time to come to India.
Now, with the various colors in the spices, let's talk about what's red and what's yellow and what's orange in the foods of India.
The oranges come from the saffron that is grown in the north and used. Red, of course, is the chili, which you cannot miss in any of our food. I don't think we have any state that serves you food which is mild. We have to, you know, yellow also comes from turmeric, which is this absolutely luscious, lovely spice that we use, which is, apart from being a flavoring agent, also an antiseptic herb.
It is. I have to tell you something, Parul. I put a teaspoon of turmeric in my coffee because it's a great...
Oh, my God.
It tastes wonderful. I put it in with the ground so it brews together with the coffee, and it has a great taste, but it's also very medicinal.
It is. And my mother would love to hear that. She's been insisting I drink some turmeric with milk because I haven't been well. It's almost a cure for all ills.
It's a great anti-inflammatory, and it has just so many other properties.
We use it for everything. If you have a broken bone, if you have fever, if you have inflammation of any kind, they'll say have a little bit of turmeric with hot milk and it'll take care of it. And we can't miss out on the herbs. We have the most beautiful fresh herbs that we use. And again, you know, in summers we'll get the mint and the basil and the coriander. And in winter we have a whole load of leafy vegetables that we use.
Well, having color that's vibrant and represented in the foods, in the festivals, we can't go without talking about the colors and of the landscape of India.
We have the Himalayas to the north, which is definitely white because they're the tallest mountain. Then coming further down, we have the salt pans, which are almost white in Gujarat. The golden sands of the Thar Desert with the gold fort of Jaisalmer. Moving down further, we have plains which are covered in ancient forest, which is thick and green, and of wildlife, including, of course, the Royal Bengal Tiger. We have sandy beaches that line three sides of our country. We have beautiful lakes and waterfalls. So I would say just about every color that you can think about, we have represented here.
Well, I can't wait to visit India again and to explore the colors of India. Parul, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your culture with me.
Thank you. Love to have you back again.
And you can get more information on Parul's company, Sacred Dot Tours, at sacreddot.com.
Well, that's it for the show today, but I'll be back next week. And remember, wherever you go, go with all your heart. Confucius. To find out more about the Traveling Culturati, visit the website at travelingculturati.com. Follow and share with me on social media and join the travel club. Special thanks. Studio producer Brittany Riddle, video producer Howard Little, executive producer Jean Harley, and to you, thanks for tuning in. I'm Javon Harley with the Traveling Culturati exclusively on HUR Voices.
You've been listening to the Traveling Culturati with travel pro Javon Harley. Tune in next week at the same time on HUR Voices.